Welcome to the Fuse. Fuse means uniting people or things, or igniting something powerful, or regulating what's overheated. On the Fuse, we talk with people who are helping teams unite, igniting culture and purpose in organizations and communities, and regulating teams when they're overheated with conflict or toxicity. I'm your host, Steve Sally. I've been studying interpersonal dynamics and helping people work better together most of my life. I have a background in social work and public affairs, expertise in consulting and coaching, and I'm the CEO of Wildfire Strategies, an organizational development firm in New York, which I started 15 years ago almost, which is kind of crazy. We work with major hospitals, law firms, nonprofits, and companies in a bunch of industries to unite teams, ignite culture and purpose, and break cycles of conflict. I'm lit up today by what's always driven me, which is helping people work really well together so they can change the world. Today, I'm joined by Jamie Levinson, founder and president of Jamie Levinson Consulting, and also a senior consultant with Wildfire Strategies. Jamie's a professional certified coach with the International Coach Federation and facilitator with over 20 years' experience in coaching and leadership development. She works with leaders on communication skills, leadership presence, building relationships, working with teams, and leading through transitions. She is certified in a number of assessment tools, has an MBA in applied behavioral science from Johns Hopkins University, and most importantly, she brings openness, warmth, humor, and authenticity to all of her client relationships. Welcome, Jamie.
Thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so glad that you're here today.
As I am.
So I hear that you once met Bruce Springsteen.
That's right, Steve. It's probably one of my best days at work because of that. I was working for the American Management Association at the time. And just by chance, Bruce Springsteen was playing on Broadway in the theater next to the building. So I came out of the building and said, oh my gosh, it's a small crowd today. It's freezing cold, but this is my moment. So I waited, I pushed my way to the front, and I actually got to meet Bruce, and it was amazing.
That's so exciting. And you've gotten to see him in concert, too.
I have. And I will be attending at the Barclays Center in the spring.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so. I've never seen Bruce in concert, and I've always wanted to.
Oh, it's they're amazing concerts. So.
I might join you in April.
Well, that would be fun.
So tell me a little bit about your own journey and what ignited the work that you do today.
Sure. You know, I think it really started when I got my master's in education and also in cognitive behavioral psychology. And what I found at that point was, Steve, that I loved the beauty of working one-on-one and working with groups of people. And that interpersonal dynamics, as you said, was something that really excited me. And being able to impact that was a big wow for me. So it goes all the way back to getting that degree. And from that point on, first working in a state-sponsored organization and then in a longer career in financial services and human resources, that's what I did. And more recently, working for my own firm, Jamie Levinson Consulting, and working with you and with Wildfire Strategies. So I think that's really where the journey began, and I haven't looked back since.
I love that. That's wonderful. That's really wonderful. Yeah. One of the things that I love about the work we do is that there's so much partnership. We work on our own and we work together. I suppose there's competition, but it doesn't ever feel that way. It always feels like just an abundance of opportunity.
Yeah, I have not felt that. I was once hired because they said you're a team player, and I feel very much part of a team at Wildfire. And the beauty of that is that we collaborate, we share ideas, and you know, there is enough work for everyone. So it's really fun to watch my colleagues and what they're doing, and then they support me, you know, when I'm up to bat. So I love that aspect.
I also think because there are times when we do other work, we bring that to the work that we do together.
Yes, I agree with that. Right. Yep. And we each have our areas of expertise, which right. and so we have a lot of similarities. But we're a diverse group as well, and I love that aspect. And you really bring that into Wildfire.
Yeah, it's important that, to have that diversity of experience and background and thought mm-hmm. and Right. It just makes life more interesting.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So on the subject of uniting, you know, so uniting is one of the themes of the Fuse, and we wanted to talk about uniting today. What are some ways that you see people uniting in the work that you do, coming together?
Yeah. Well, what comes to mind first is I'm thinking about a large department that was part of a healthcare group, and there was a major challenge there. There was a major reorganization taking place, and jobs were changing, and there was a lot of fear and anxiety. And what we did as part of Wildfire Strategies, what we did, we went in and we used a three-pronged approach. We coached individuals, we did leadership development with the leadership team, and we also did change management work. And we were able to get I guess it was 100 some people to really come together and to trust their leadership and to be able to stay engaged. And there was a lot going on. There were people coming and going. Jobs were changing, as I said. But because of that effort and the way that we were able to have people feel heard, trust their leadership, teach them about what it was like to go through change, they really stayed a unified team. And that was really magical to see because it was a challenging time for everyone.
And they started out not trusting their leadership.
Once the change began, as it goes with change, people, communication, if it's not done with care, people naturally, as I said, become fearful and they didn't trust. And it was a lot of work with the leadership team to help them communicate in a different way and answer the questions that people were asking. And that trust was built and it kept people engaged. It kept productivity going. And so, yes, the trust was really important.
And you talked about a three-pronged approach. So working with the leader, working with the leadership team, and working with the group as a whole.
That's right.
Do you think, I wonder if leaders expect that that's what's needed to really help grow or develop or bring their teams together?
I think it depends, but I think often that's a blind spot and that leaders don't always realize the ways that they do need to communicate and how they can be best supporting their teams. So, you know, self-awareness is a piece of that. So I think it varies depending on who it is. But the beauty of our work is we come in and we help leaders to better understand themselves and the needs of the team. And that's very powerful.
I always appreciate when they trust us to bring those multi-pronged approaches to working with them. I think, you know, sometimes they expect that it's going to be, you know, just working with a leader or workshops with the whole team and sometimes there's a expectation that we're just going to come in once.
Yes. No. And I think it is surprising to them. What also I think was really magical about this particular department that we're talking about is that things changed. We had set up, we were going to do one thing, and we saw that there was a need to pivot from perhaps a workshop to maybe more leadership development. Mm-hmm. And they trusted us. They saw that we were meeting them where they were at, and that was a really, really good dynamic that existed between us and the leadership.
What were some of the benefits of the team coming together?
Oh, there were many. I would say first the strengthening of the relationships, which got people more engaged. I would say that because they were going through a very challenging period, the fact that they were able to still get results was really important as well. And I think there was less stress. It was at such a high level when we came in that it just made being at work on a daily basis really difficult. So we brought that stress level down, the relationships were built. I think there was more transparency from the leadership team, and that further built the trust between the team and the leaders.
And the coaching work with the leadership team helped both to strengthen the relationships on the leadership team itself, but also between the leadership team and their staff.
Absolutely.
The people who reported to them.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm always amazed at when the one-on-one coaching, how that has a ripple effect and how powerful that can be, not just for the individual you're working with, but for everyone else, the team members, et cetera, that are impacted.
Right, right. Stabilizing and strengthening leadership makes a huge difference. And one, I find often that leaders are afraid to admit that they don't know or have an answer. Mm-hmm. They're afraid to ask questions.
That's right.
They feel that they're expected to know all the answers. So if a leadership team can learn together the value of being able to be more open, to ask more questions, to explore more, to be a little more vulnerable, they're teaching each other through their actions in that process. And that lives far beyond the work that we're doing with them, right? We walk out of the room after, you know, a couple of hours or a day. But building that connection on the leadership team, they get to reinforce themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We did work with one other, I'll just reference one other group that we worked with where we spent the whole day and we did some leadership, we did some strategic work with the leadership team. And we also used an assessment so that everybody else could learn, they could all learn about each other's styles, understand their own style and styles of everyone else. And even to this day, I will hear, because I have worked with some of those individuals still, I'll hear they make references to how they incorporate the use of the style in their interpersonal communications with each other. So I think to your point, yes, it lives on long after we leave the room.
I love that. Right. They're learning a common language.
Yes, that's right.
Right. They're learning a common language and they're sharing that and they're continuing to share it. And when one person brings it up, it reminds the rest of the group, oh, right, this is that thing. This is that tool that we learned and we can use this and this is helpful. And I think common language also lets people, it lets them relax and that you can bring a certain humor into your work together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It can be fun. People can poke fun at themselves and that vulnerability can be fun and people learn better when they're having fun. So,
right. Right. They learn better when they're having fun. Yeah. Those are words to live by for all of us.
That's right.
I love that. That's wonderful. So what do you think gets in the way of people coming together? What stops them from uniting?
I think today, a lot of people, we have teams where people are remote, where people are, some people are in the office, some aren't. So that poses some challenges. I think just that day-to-day pressure that people feel in the office. Additionally, I would say personalities. There's always going to be different personalities. So learning to understanding yourself, learning to work with others, and then communication. I think when communication is not clear, that really presents issues for people getting along and for people's relationships just get muddied by that. So I think that can get in the way.
One of the things we talk about are wounds that teams have and that the primary one, I think, is the wound of taking things personally. Mm. So getting stuck on, you know, hearing something that somebody says in a personal way and getting maybe defensive or combative and, you know, or shutting down and saying or doing something that the other person or others on the team might take personally as well.
Yeah, I think I agree. And it's that's a huge one. And that's life work for many, many of us, right?
Sure.
Because it's so easy to go there and take it personal. Yeah, that's a real skill, and that takes some work.
Yeah. How do you take care of yourself in all this work? You know, we give so much of ourselves to other people. How do you take care of you?
Good question, Steve. I do a lot of things. One of the things I do is meditate. I have a mindfulness practice. I use that. I work out. I try to eat healthy, and I try to sleep, try to get enough sleep in the evenings. It sounds cliche, but those are the things that typically I do. I make sure that I have time for me and practice the things that I just mentioned.
Right. Arianna Huffington wrote a whole book on sleep.
I know. And
It's right. It's something that we forget so quickly to prioritize,
especially this time of year as well.
Right. What are some other things that you would want people to know, for leaders to know on their journey about uniting, coming together, working together?
Yep. I think some of the things I've learned are, you know, when people connect, really listen to one another and really take the time to understand themselves and the impact that they have on others, I think that's really something that is important for leaders. And to really boil it down, I would say to my leaders, see the person in front of you and connect with them. Connect human to human. Because if you build the relationship, the results will follow. And I have found that constant thread of, you know, building the relationship is such a powerful one. But to see that person, really see that person in front of you and build that connection. That's what I would say.
What are some of the first things that we can do to build that connection? And I say this, ask this at so many levels, right? There are interpersonal conflicts, team conflicts, societal conflicts. What are some of the things that we can do to start to create that human connection?
Sure. I think just take the time. If you're on site together, go to have coffee with that person or lunch. If you're not, still drop in a virtual space. Get to know the person, you know a little bit about their lives outside of work.
Right.
So really take time to get to know people and really be present. Make sure that when you're talking with people that you're not doing other things, that you're not answering the phone, that you're not looking at your computer. Just show up for people and show up with a presence that has them feel that they are important. So that really takes taking a minute to stop and do that, because we're all so in motion most of the time.
We're so in motion most of the time, and we're so on, you know, many devices and different things at the same time. And, you know, it's funny you say that. I love connecting with people, and I also find myself getting distracted by the many things.
Mm.
And what comes across is what matters, not the intention. Right?
That's right.
So making yourself present and available makes such a huge difference to connect.
Absolutely.
Yeah, to connect. Well, Jamie, I want to thank you so, so much for joining me today on The Fuse. It's been delightful to have you.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. It's been my pleasure to be here. Thank you so much, Steve.
Thanks, Jamie. So The Fuse is insightful conversations about challenging and rewarding journeys. To keep The Fuse going until next time, find us on Twitter @FusePodcast or @WildfireStrategies.com.